أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وراودته التي هو في بيتها عن نفسه وغلقت الأبواب وقالت هيت لك. قال معاذ الله إنه ربي أحسن مثواي إنه لا يفلح الظالمون. ولقد همت به وهم بها لولا أن رأى برهان ربه كذلك لنصرف عنه السوء والفحشاء إنه من عبادنا المخلصين. واستبق الباب وقدت قميصه من دبر وألف يا سيدها لدى الباب. قالت ما جزاء من أراد بأهلك سوءا إلا أن يسجن أو عذاب أليم. قال هي راودتني عن نفسي وشهد شاهد من أهلها إن كان قميصه قد من قبل فصدقت وهو من الكاذبين. وإن كان قميصه قد من دبر فكذبت وهو من الصادقين. فلما رأى قميصه قد من دبر قال إنه من كيدكم إن كيدكن عظيم. يوسف أعرض عن هذا واستغفري لذنبك إنك كنت من الخاطئين. وقال نسوة في المدينة امرأة العزيز تراود فتاها عن نفسه قد شغفها حبا إنا لنراها في ضلال مبين. فلما سمعت بمكرهن أرسلت إليهن وأعتدت لهن متكأ وآتت كل واحدة منهن سكينا وقالت اخرج عليهن. فلما رأينه أكبرنه وقطعن أيديهن وقلن حاش لله ما هذا بشرا إن هذا إلا ملك كريم. قالت فذلكن الذي لمتنني فيه. ولقد راودته عن نفسه فاستعصم ولئن لم يفعل ما آمره ليسجنن وليكونا من الصاغرين. قال رب السجن أحب إلي مما يدعونني إليه وإلا تصرف عني كيدهن أصب إليهن وأكن من الجاهلين. فاستجاب له ربه فصرف عنه كيدهن إنه هو السميع العليم. ثم بدا لهم من بعد ما رأوا الآيات ليسجننه حتى حين.
So Yusuf has reached his age of puberty, and now, because of his great beauty, the wife of Aziz has been attracted to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا. مُرَاوَدَة, the first word here, is to ask gently, to entice with mercy, to seduce. So you're asking or you're enticing someone, right, with gentleness and mercy. So the wife of Aziz comes to him, and Allah says, الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا. Notice he doesn't say إِمْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ, whereas before it was إِمْرَأَةِ. Over here, الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا. She whose house he was in. Interesting, why is this phrase used instead of إِمْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ? The reason is to show you the helplessness of Yusuf. She in whose house he is the slave, she is the master. He is the one that is owned, she is the one that owns. He is the one who is low in society, she is the one who is the minister's wife. So by showing الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا, we are reminded of the status of the wife. This was not an enticement that might occur between two free people. A woman comes to a man and tries to seduce or entice him on the street or in her house or something. No, it's not as easy as that. She, in whose house he was living in her house. So you can imagine, it's not something easy here. Yusuf, look at the status of Yusuf. Firstly, he is a stranger in a strange land. He is not from Egypt. Secondly, it's not his culture, even his people, his language. Thirdly, it's a different religion. He's gharib, totally strange. Fourthly, he is a mere slave, holding no status or power in society. Fifthly, the one that entices and seduces him is not another slave, rather a free person. Sixthly, not any free person, rather his own master. So look at his helplessness, look at the situation he is. This is not just another any type of seduction, any type of seducement. No, this is the height of seduction you cannot get in a more helpless situation that Yusuf was in. So the one in whose house he was seduced her to herself. She called Yusuf to herself. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. Beautiful phrase. غَلَّقَ means she has strongly bolted. There's an emphasis here. It's not just she closed the doors. غَلَّقَ. There was a strong barrier on the doors. And not just one bab. أبواب. Plural. Beautiful description. And just these two words here. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. All of the doors had strongly been secured and tied up. It's not just one door that she locks to the room, that's it. No. Rather, you can imagine when they're in their palace or whatever it is, there must be a number of doors till the entrance. And there must be in some inner chamber or room, she closes all of the doors, abwab, not just one door. And not just locks them, ghallaqa, which means severely secured, bolted and tied up. So on top of this, add yet another temptation, that nobody can see him. And yet another temptation on top of this is he has just reached his manhood. And as you know, the height of male sexuality is reached right after puberty, post-puberty, whereas female is much after this. But as for male sexuality, this is the height. So Yusuf alayhi salam has so many temptations, so many enticements here, so many problems. And all of this is summarized and hinted at in this verse. On top of this, she says, not only is the whole scene ready, she says, Haytalak, which means, come to me, I'm calling you to me. What is Yusuf's response? قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. He says, I seek Allah's refuge. I turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ رَبِّي. He is my Lord. أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. How great has He given me my mathwa, matha, which is His room and board, His lodging. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how great has He taken care of me. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْرِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. He does not cause the zalimun to be successful. Okay, so look now. All of her beauty, and you can imagine that she must be a beautiful woman as it is, because she is the wife of the minister. She is not just any person. She is the wife of a very noble and high class person. And Yusuf's age and all of the other factors that we described, and they are in pure khalwa, pure isolation. Nobody, not only can they not see them, there is no way to get into the house as well. Everything has been bolted. Immediately he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which shows you that this is the way of the mu'min. He realizes that he himself is not powerful enough to attack or to go against his shahawat, his desires. He must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is my Lord. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ I seek Allah's refuge from this act. He is my Lord. Now, there is a difference of opinion. Who is Yusuf talking about? Some ulama say he is talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is my Lord. And how great has He given me my care. And verily Allah does not cause the zalimun or the wrongdoers to be successful. Other ulama say, مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ Obviously is talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ رَبِّي He is my Lord, meaning the minister, Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz is my Lord, meaning my owner. Okay? And how أحسن مثوايا He has given me a great room and place. He has taken care of my needs. So if that were to be the meaning, both meanings are allowed in the language. If that is the meaning, basically Yusuf is reminding her of her rights as a wife as well. How could you do this? And he is your Lord. He is your husband. And he is my Lord. And he's also showing her that were I to call you, were I to respond to your call, I'd be doing injustice upon injustice. Injustice to Allah, that's why he says ma'ad Allah. And then injustice to my master, innahu rabbi. And then a third injustice, ahsan wa thwa, he's been so good to me. In other words, not just is he any master, I'm not allowed to do this to any master's wife. Not only has he been any master, he's been a very good master to me. So were I to do this, were I to follow you and your desires, I would be doing dhulm to Allah, and being dhulm to myself, and doing dhulm to my master and your husband. So all of these meanings can be understood by this verse, إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ those that do wrong will never be successful. And this of course shows you the evil nature of khalwa, of being alone with a woman, and that is why the Prophet ﷺ said, never is there a man and a woman alone in khalwa except that shaitan is the third of them. Okay, so this is one of the evils of khalwa, that shaitan will be the third of them and he will always try to entice them. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ She desired him. She wanted him. وَهَمَّ بِهَا And he had a ham for her as well. He had an intention or a desire for her as well. لَوْلَا أَرَّأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ Were it not for the fact that he saw the sign of his Lord. Over here, there is a lot of kalam, a lot of talk by the ulama of tafsir about the meaning of ham here. As for the first part, no problem. She desired her. Of course she desired him. Because that's why she did what she did. The problem, according to some ulama, how could Yusuf have a desire as well? Yusuf is a prophet of Allah. So many of the ulama, they have tried to bend over backwards to get out of this problem. In reality, there is no problem. Why? Because it says, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّ بِهَا He had a ham for her. And ham means an intention or a desire. And this level is not sinful at all. To have a ham, you are not sinful. To act upon the ham is sinful. As for the wife, she acted upon the ham. What did she do? She closed the door, she beautified herself. Okay, she made Yusuf all alone in khalwa, and then she tempted him and called out to him. So she acted on the desire, she is sinful. As for Yusuf, even if he had this ham, right, he didn't do anything. Therefore it is not sinful at all. Also the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ هَمَّ بِسَيِّئَةٍ Whoever hamma, whoever has this ham, this desire or this intention to do evil, but he does not do it, he will be rewarded with the good. So the ham in and of itself is not sinful. You understand here? The verse itself is not a problem. Because ham doesn't mean he did anything, it just means he had a desire. And this is human nature. It is human nature. It is not possible for any man, when a woman in that status and in this situation and of that beauty tempts him, that he will not feel some type of human emotions, this ham. And even we know the Prophet ﷺ, once he was outside and a woman passed by, and he entered into his wife. And he said that, and he entered to his wife, and he said, when he came out, he said, verily a woman passed by me and I had the desire as men desire, so I went to my wife and I got rid of that desire. And this is what we should do as well, is that once we have this type of desire, we should get rid of it in the halal way possible. So the ham is not sinful in and of itself. It is the acting upon that desire. So Allah says, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّ بِهَا And he had the ham for her as well. طيب, this is one interpretation. Cross all that out, there's yet another interpretation. Well, don't cross it out, just write another interpretation as well. And this is the interpretation also that gives you out of the problem. And this is the interpretation of Al-Allama Al-Shanqiti in his Adwa Al-Bayan. He says that he didn't have a ham for her. He did not have a desire for her. What's the proof for this? وَلَقَدْ هَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ So the way he would be translating the verse would be, he would have had a desire for her had he not seen the sign from his Lord. In other words, he did not have a desire for her. And both opinions are really strong opinions. Whichever one you choose is not problematic. If he had a desire for her and he didn't act upon that desire, this in fact makes him even more perfect. because this shows you, this is one of the benefits of the first interpretation, the stronger of the two is the one who has the desire and fights it, versus the one who doesn't have the desire in the first place. Okay? There is no reward in not having a desire. We are not being rewarded right now for sitting here that we're not committing zina with stuff for Allah, something like this, right? Because the temptation was not given to us. But if the temptation is given to us and then we go out of zina, if we're offered drugs, we're offered something haram, and we are attracted to it, and then we leave that attraction, this is the perfection of one's iman. As for not having a desire in the first place, you are not tempted. Many of us, perhaps those of us that have been raised, all our lives as Muslims and practicing families, we might not have had any inclination towards drugs, none whatsoever. As for perhaps a person who was in Jahiliyyah that Allah guided him to Islam, and he knows the beauty or the whatever, the temporary feeling of drugs, he has a craving for it. So he must be fighting those drugs. So his iman in this regard is better, because he has the craving and he's fighting for it. So if you were to take this first interpretation, that Yusuf actually had a hum for her, even then Yusuf comes out to be the perfect person, because he had the hum and he didn't do anything. And if you were to take the second interpretation as well, this also leaves with no problem, that he did not have any desire for her because he saw the Burhan from his Lord. Now what is this Burhan that he saw? What is this miracle or this clear sign? Burhan means clear sign. What is this clear sign that he saw? The ulama have differed what it is. There are many riwayats from the Salaf. Some of them said he saw a figure of Ya'qub in front of him, and Ya'qub was looking at him angrily, so he remembered his fatherhood, his childhood, and his father, and that his father was a prophet and he's a prophet, he remembered. Others say he heard a voice, Jibreel, talking to him and warning him against falling into sin. And yet others, which is a really strange interpretation, is that he saw an idol that the wife of Aziz used to worship, and she had covered him up, she had covered the idol up, and she said, "I don't want my idol to see this." So Yusuf said, "My Lord has more right that I don't show him anything wrong for me." But this really doesn't seem to be a strong interpretation. There are really one or two aqwal that are strong. The strongest one, in my opinion, and Allah knows best, is the Burhan that Allah is talking about is his own knowledge and prophethood. This is the sign that he knew. Because Ra'a, the Ru'ya is of two types. The Ru'ya that you see with your eyes and the Ru'ya that you know with your heart. Okay? So if we were to take it that he saw something physical, then the ulama have said, well, maybe he saw his father, and his father was looking angry, and maybe he heard a voice. If we were to take the ru'ya to be from the heart, then the burhan over here is the knowledge that he has. So it was the knowledge of Allah and the knowledge of his prophethood that prevented him from falling into that sin. And this does seem to be like a very strong opinion, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So this is the burhan that he saw. كَذَلِكَ, this is how. لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ, we will avert from him su and fahsha. Su is all that harms you. This is called su. Fahsha, all that is lewd and evil. So Allah removed from him all evil and all things that harm him and all lewdity. إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ, that he is from our people. مُخْلَصِين means that he is chosen by Allah. Okay? There are two qira'at in this verse. مُخْلِصِين and مُخْلَصِين. مُخْلَصِين means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him. So in this qira'ah, and we know that all of the 10 qira'ahs are authentic, so we don't contradict them, we take them all of them together as tafsir. So in the qira'ah of mukhlasin, this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Yusuf and preferred him. Because akhlasahu in this sense means he chose him. Istafa. And mukhlas means he had ikhlas. If you read it with the kasra, the way that we recited in our qira'ah, which is in front of us, is mukhlas with the fatha, which means Allah chose him. And the way that other qira'ahs recited is mukhlas, which means he had sincerity to Allah. Because of his ikhlas to Allah, Allah protected him from the wife of Aziz. And both of these meanings are correct. Because of his ikhlas, Allah chose him. Okay, we add both of the qira'at together and we say, because of his ikhlas, because of his sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him and saved him from the su' and the fahsha. طيب, this also shows you that ikhlas is the way out from all of sins. Ikhlas is the way out from all sins. Because when you have ikhlas, that is what will protect you and save you from falling into the sins of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah told us this, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, of a surety I will lead all of mankind astray, إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ الْمُخْلَصِينَ الْمُخْلَصِينَ, except your servants who have ikhlas. So shaitan himself told Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this in the Quran, that all of your servants I will lead astray except those who have ikhlas. And this we're seeing here right now, that because of Yusuf's ikhlas, then he will he was saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that this is one of the greatest signs of iman, is to turn down a temptation from a woman, especially in this level and in this type of situation that we are in, because we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. Seven are the people, and this doesn't mean these are the only people, but seven are specially rewarded, that Allah will shade them on the day that there is no other shade of them. رَجُلٌ دَعَتُ امْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ مَنْصِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهُ. A man who was tempted by a woman of status and beauty, and he said, I fear Allah. And we find this, par excellence, the most best method to be in Yusuf's case, in the sense that not only was she of status, she was the master of Yusuf. Not just any woman of status. You realize now, and perhaps the brothers are not aware of this because we don't have slaves anymore, slaves were looked down upon even when it came to intercourse. Even when it came to having intercourse with them. So if a slave entices you, the human culture at that time, the society at that time would look down upon it. Will be considered very low to stooping to that level. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, ذَاتُ مَنْصِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ, a woman of status. Because when a woman of status seducts you, it's not like when a woman of, a slave woman seducts you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that these are the seven people that will be sheltered on the Day of Judgment, and one of them is a man whom a woman of status and duty tempted, and he said, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This also shows you, like we said, that to have a desire and fight against it is stronger than not to have the desire at all. This doesn't mean we should have desires, no. But if we do have desires and we fight against it, then know that your iman is stronger than the one who does not have desires. This is the difference. I'm not saying that we should have desires and fight against them. If you don't have desires, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a ni'mah. But I'm saying if there are desires, if a person has a craving for alcohol, has a craving for drugs, has a craving for women, and he then fights that, this is a sign of a strong iman versus the one who doesn't have the craving. If he doesn't have the craving, thank Allah that you don't have to be tempted. But the sign of iman is stronger there, that he went against those cravings. This is the point, and Yusuf clearly shows that here. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ. They both of them, raced for the door. اِسْتَبَقَ, the two of them raced for the door. Look at Yusuf's iman here now. Not only did he say ma'ad Allah, and he reminded her of her husband, and he reminded her to fear Allah as well, that he said innahu la yuflihu adh-dhalimun, that the people who do wrong will never be successful. So he's reminding her as well. Not only that, he turns around to run out of the room, which shows you this is the way of the believer, that he runs away from evil. He doesn't even stay around places of evil. He goes away from evil. So he turns away, and running away from him, and she then follows him up. Look at her desires here. She will physically run after him in order for him to satisfy her sexual needs. Look at her, the depths of depravity, the depravity that she has reached. She is actually racing up to him. وَاسْتَبَقَ, they both raced for the door. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابَ وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ مِنْ دُبُرٍ. So she must have caught on to his shirt. Once again, look at her desire. And this shows you the dangers of sexual passions. And this is one of the strongest passions in man. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, زُيَّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. He starts off from nisa. That indeed it is pleasing for men, the love of shahawat, the love of shahawat from women. He starts off from women, and then he moves on to money and horses and land. But one of the strongest, if not the strongest desire that a man has is for women. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I have not left any fitna in my ummah that is more dangerous to them than women. Okay, the greatest danger that I have left my ummah with is women, in the sense that men are very easily attracted to them, and vice versa as well. Women like to have control, and women like to have power over men, and they use their beauty, if they don't have the fear and taqwa of Allah, to do that. So this is why, even more so, that he is being enticed to his most strongest shahawat, and yet he refuses that, he turns away, she is lost in her depravity. She wants Yusuf, so she's holding on to him, and she's pulling him back. And right then and there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills that the only person who can get through all those locks, because he must have the keys, is her husband. Anyone else could not have gone through. So we can assume that he came home at a time he should not have come home, where usually he would not have come home, but he comes home, and he is the only one that has the right and the way to get by all of those locks, to get by all of those doors. So right when they get to the door, وَأَلْفَيَا, they found سَيِّدَهَا, her master, let the bab, right at the door. Okay? So her master reminding us that the crime that she was doing was a double crime, in that she is trying to cheat her own husband, her own master, Sayyida, let her know, right at the door. Immediately, قَالَتْ مَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ أَرَادَ بِأَهْلِكَ السُّؤَالِ. She said, what will be the response? What will be the punishment
What will be the retribution of he who desired ill with your family? إِلَّا أَنْ يُسْجَلَ, except that you should either put him in prison, أَوْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, or punish him a severe punishment. Obviously, she is the guilty party. She is caught red-handed, as they say, and she feels the guilt. So immediately, without being asked, without any saying anything, she offers the justification that he was the one that tempted me. He was the one that wanted to do evil with me. Notice she says, مَنْ أَرَادَ, whoever desired to do evil. She didn't say whoever did evil, because if she said they did evil, they have done zina, then she herself would be in trouble that they actually gotten that far. She doesn't go that far. She says, مَنْ أَرَادَ بِأَهْلِكَ سُوءٍ, whoever intended evil for your family. So she is trying to put it that Yusuf intended evil. He was not successful, and thank God you came in time, and now you have to punish him, either by sending him to prison or by يعني putting an evil punishment like whipping or flogging upon him. And this is the way of the يعني impious people. They blame everyone else. They will look at everyone else's fault and forget their own faults. They blame this wrong. She was 110% responsible, yet she blames it on Yusuf. And this is the way of the Zalimun and the Fasiqun. They get out of it at whatever cost, even by blaming innocent people. And this is one of the major signs, major sins in Islam as well, to blame an innocent person, as is mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah. طيب. So, the proof of this also is the qissa of Iblis, the story of Iblis, right? Iblis, he is told to do sajda to Adam. What does he do? Aba wa istakbar. Right? He is arrogant and he refuses. Who does he blame? I mean, it's so obvious. Allah has given him the command to do sajda, and he refuses. He says, I'm not going to do sajda to someone you created from dust and clay. And yet, look at his arrogance. Who does he blame? Just like the Zalimun blame everyone else. Who does he blame? He blames Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He blames Allah for his own arrogance. قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, he said, oh Allah, because you have caused me to go astray. You have misled me. Ya subhanAllah, look at the arrogance here. To blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you yourself did not do his commands. And this is, like we said, the way of the Zalimun, is that they blame everyone else. They forget themselves and they blame everyone else. So Yusuf alayhi salam immediately responds back, قَالَ هِيَ رَاوَدَتْنِي عَنْ نَفْسِي, he said, verily, she tempted me to herself. She was the one that tried to tempt me to her. Now this shows you, it is allowed to defend your honor if the need arises. It also shows you that tawakkul in Allah does not mean sitting at home and sitting quiet and letting things happen. It means you do everything you can, and then you put your tawakkul in Allah. Here is the Prophet of Allah. If he wanted to, he would just sit back and said, okay, I'll put my trust in Allah and Allah will save me. No. He does what he can, and we will see this again in the prison also. He does what he can to achieve at the goal, to arrive at the goal. He defends himself. So this shows you it is allowed to defend yourself when you are accused, and there is no sin upon anyone if he does so. And we'll find out later on, it is also allowed to stay quiet. It's up to you. If you want to defend yourself, and you think it's wiser, you can. And if you want to stay quiet and you think it's wiser, you can stay. You can also do that. We'll find out tomorrow when Yusuf is accused of something else and he does not respond to that charge. Okay? Right now the point is, to defend your honor, to defend a something against you, you are not sinful at all. Rather, this is perfectly fine and you're allowed to do that. So he says, she was the one that tempted me to her. وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا, a witness bore testimony from her own household that if the shirt has been cut, because you see, she must be holding the shirt in her hand, a piece of the shirt. She must be holding it. Okay. So the witness testifies and he gives the criterion. I'll tell you who's the truthful one. If the shirt has been torn from the back, right, or if the shirt has been torn from the front firstly, then she is the one telling the truth and he is the liar. In other words, if the shirt is cut from the front, it means that Yusuf was facing her and trying to do something with her, and she is defending herself and holding on to the front of her shirt and tears it out. But if the shirt had been torn from the back, then this shows you that he is the one that is truthful and she is the liar, because her back was to her. He must be running away and she must be holding him back. Okay, who is this shahid? Who is this witness? The ulama have differed a lot. Some people say it was her own cousin. Well, without a doubt, it was related to her. He was related to her because it says min ahliha. And the reason for this is to prove that he was truthful. In other words, he's testifying against his own relative. So he has nothing to gain by this testimony. So to prove his truthfulness, Allah chose a witness from her own household. So some ulama say a cousin. What was the age of this cousin? Again, difference of opinion. Ibn Abbas said he had a big white beard. Now, there was an old man. Other riwayat, and there's even the hadith to this effect, he was a baby. and Allah made him speak in the grave, the cradle. Okay, Allah made him speak from the cradle as a miracle. على كل حال, whoever it was, he gave the criterion. If it's a baby, it adds an even more greater miracle. And some of the ulama have made the hadith sahih in this regard, and some others have some kalam about it. In any case, it was a witness who bore testimony, and he gave a criterion. And the criterion was, where is the shirt torn from? And the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so this shows you, by the way, this shows you that to act upon supporting evidence is allowed as long as nothing stronger than that contradicts it. In other words, what am I talking about? This is a principle in fiqh we're talking about. The way that you establish a crime in Islam is with two witnesses. Okay? Two witnesses have to see the crime, except for one crime, and that is the crime of zina, which needs four witnesses. Every other crime, right, murder and stealing, everything, it needs two male witnesses to witness the crime. Okay? Here in this case, we don't have any witnesses, but there is supporting evidence. The shirt has been torn. Where has it been torn from? From the back or the front? And based upon that, a verdict is reached. And this is supporting evidence. So the ulama say from this and many other instances, the qadi, the judge, can use supporting evidence if he feels it's strong enough. And this comes under all of our modern technology today. Fingerprints, videotapes, footsteps, whatever. All of this is supporting evidence. Without a doubt, the asl is two witnesses. Okay, DNA tests, blood tests, all of these type of things. Without a doubt, the asl is two witnesses. But all of these other tests in our times come under supporting evidence, so we cannot pronounce a fatwa on each one of these things. It goes back to the qadi in every single situation and instance. Let's look at it, let's see what the supporting evidence is, and then base a verdict on that. This is proven also in this ayah here, because they acted upon the supporting evidence. طيب, another benefit here, the theme of the shirt is common throughout Surah Yusuf. The shirt starts off the story with the false blood. Okay? And the shirt is what told the people of Yusuf's innocence, life, because it was a full shirt. Remember, Yaqub knew that Yusuf was alive, and it gave him hope. It saved Yusuf from Yaqub's thought that he was dead. It saved Yusuf, the shirt. Likewise, here the shirt saves Yusuf once again. How? By proving his innocence. And in the end also, we'll find the blessings of the shirt, that the shirt brings back the life, brings back the sight of Yaqub, which was taken away by the loss of Yusuf. So Yusuf has been removed, Yusuf's shirt has been removed, Yaqub goes blind, so Yusuf sends his shirt again, and because of that, Yaqub goes back to seeing again. So the theme of the shirt is, once again, common throughout the story. طيب, فَلَمَّا رَأَى قَمِيسَهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ. When they saw that his shirt had been torn from the back, قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنْ. The husband, Al-Aziz, said, verily this is of your plots and plans. إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. You are plotting and planning is very great, very strong. Okay. يُوسُفُ أَعْرِضْ عَنْ هَذَا. Yusuf, turn away from this. وَاسْتَغْفِرِ لِذَنْبِكِ. As for you, my wife, then seek forgiveness for your sin, seek forgiveness from me, and seek forgiveness from the gods that they have. إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ. Verily, you were from those who made a mistake. طيب. Here he is saying that your planning and plotting is very severe, because he probably figured out, now how come all the doors were closed? Okay, and now he says, well, this is of your plotting and planning. You have a very strong plotting and planning. Some of the ulama, they have it's not a joke, it's like a slight statement of fact, maybe even. They say that when Allah talks about the plotting of shaitan, he says, إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. That the plotting of shaitan is very, very weak. And when he talks about the plotting of women, he says, إِنَّ كَيْدَ كُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. That the plotting of women is very strong. They're showing you that the women's plots are more successful than the plots of shaitan. This doesn't mean, wa'ayyadu billah, that they are worse than shaitan. But to be frank, it means that women can tempt men much more easily than shaitan can. Therefore, if they do something, it's very, very easy for a man to be seduced into something that a woman does to try to seduce him. So he's saying that you have a very great and grand plan. Oh Yusuf, turn away from this. In other words, don't mention it, ignore it, forget it. It never occurred. And do not spread it to other people. أَعْرِضْ عَنْ هَذَا. Okay, don't take any action based upon it. And as for you, then seek forgiveness from me. You did a mistake. Seek forgiveness from our gods. You were definitely someone who committed a mistake. Now this shows you that something very strange. How come the husband didn't do anything? How come the husband did not do anything? Again, the ulama have difference of opinion. What was the reason here? It could be that because nothing happened, and perhaps he didn't realize the severity of the situation in the sense of exactly how she had tempted him. Perhaps he just thought it was a lapse on his wife's fault. So if he was gentle or if he didn't do anything strict, then they would forget about it. So this would be sufficient, like a slap on the wrist basically. Yusuf, turn away from this. As for you, seek forgiveness, you've committed a mistake. Perhaps he was being soft-hearted. Other ulama say, no, there was more at stake here than that. There was his reputation and honor at stake. How can his own wife, if the people find out, how can his own wife tempt his own slave? It's a very, very dishonorable thing. It will be something that will ruin his reputation. So because of this, he wanted to keep it hush-hush. He wanted to keep it quiet. Don't tell anyone what occurred. Just keep it between us. As for the wife then, she was told to seek forgiveness from him and from their gods and to turn away from this because she was mistaken.